So, since we're talking a little bit about men this morning, I want to ask you guys, has anybody in your family ever accused you of having selective hearing? Dell. I'm still a young man, but as I've grown older, that accusation gets thrown at me more often because I really think I'm starting to lose a little bit of my hearing. This morning, what we want to talk about is listening. The passage that we're looking at for the whole summer is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so we're spending time on each of those. Last week, Kathy talked about broken hearts and how that's got to be a part of what goes into our life in terms of loving God. And this morning, what I want to talk about is listening hearts, learning to listen to God. Because it has to do with how do we align our hearts with God's heart. And let me just say, I don't think we always do align our hearts with God's heart. I think oftentimes we have our heart and we know what we want. But then we ask God to just kind of bless that. Whereas what really ought to be happening is we ought to recognize that our hearts are not always aligned with God. And so we ask the Lord, Lord, help us align our hearts with your heart. Because that is a way that we love God. Instead of loving the God that we create ourselves. And I think that learning to listen is one of those things. How we get to a place where an automatic response in our lives to the circumstances in which we find ourselves is aligned with God comes as a result of learning to listen to Him on a regular basis, over and over and over again, and not have selective hearing. And also not have a loss of hearing, not becoming hard in our hearing. A friend of mine, Greg Ogden, tells a story about a Native American who's walking through Manhattan with a friend of his who lives there. And at one point he says, in the midst of all of the cacophony of noise, all of the honking and the yelling and things that are going on, he says, listen, do you hear that cricket? And his friend says, are you kidding me? How can you hear anything? And he goes over to a planter and digs through the mulch, and sure enough, there's a cricket. He says, how do you do that? It's all a matter of what you have been trained to listen to. And then he goes on to demonstrate that. Watch this. And he pulls a handful of coins out of his pocket and drops it on the sidewalk, and everybody turns around and looks. The obvious question is, what have our hearts, what have our ears been trained to listen to? So with that in mind, I want you to listen to this passage from Mark where Jesus tells a parable. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he began to teach them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100 fold. And he said to them, anyone who has ears to listen, listen. It's all about listening. Lord, as we explore this, we ask this morning that you would teach us to listen, that you would speak to our hearts, and that you would give us listening hearts today. For your sake and your glory. Amen. Well, the text doesn't end there. Jesus goes on to gather with his disciples and he explains the parables. He said to them, do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones that are sown on rocky ground. And when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root and endure only for a while. And then, when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones who are sown on good soil. They hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Just to make this comment, oftentimes when we hear the word fruit in Scripture, we think new Christians, new people to the church. But if you really look at the way that that is used in Scripture, the fruit that is talked about is the fruit of character. It's all about the idea of becoming apprentices of Christ, which means we learn life from the Master and we become more and more like the Master, which is really the need. It's why what Brian said is so important. What's needed in the world is people who are presence. The presence of Christ in the world. I remember when we went back in 1993 to visit Charlie and Diane Dokmo in Russia on our way to Turkmenistan. Charlie, Diane, you have someone with you this morning. Would you like to introduce them?
It's their daughter Tina and her husband Brian Moore, and their grandson Simeon is in the nursery.
And Brian? Ryan. And Ryan's going where?
Well, Ryan, they live in Wichita.
Oh, Wichita. Okay, yeah, great. I thought he was being deployed. He just got back. Okay, great to have you with us. We went to visit them, and at that time in particular, Russia was a very confusing place for people like me. For people like Diane, it was confusing. But we met with some of the Russian Christians who had become believers through the influence of Charlie and Diane and others like them. And consistently the message was, we don't need somebody to come in and tell us what the truth is. We're suspicious of ideologies. We've lived with an ideology for 70 years. And seeing how bankrupt it is. The reason we became Christians is because we watched the lives of Christian men and women like Charlie and Diane. And we were convinced that there was something in them that we wanted. So the fruit of character is needed desperately in the world if we are going to do what God has called us to do as followers of Christ. Jesus tells the crowd to listen. And then he tells this story about the soils. And the soils have to do with listening. And the seed is spread equally everywhere. Which I would say we need to recognize that we are not the sower, that God is the sower. The Father is the sower. And He sows His seed in the world equally, all over the place. Yes, He uses us, but He is going to do His work. The question is for us, as we allow the seed to be sown in our lives, what kind of soil are we going to be? Because Jesus is saying, we can make a choice. We can be different kinds of soil. Yes, the circumstances of life impact the kind of soil that we are. But the choices that we make will determine whether we receive the soil and the fruit of character is born in our lives. First, he talks about the hard of hearing heart. As a farmer sowed, some seed fell on the path and the birds came up and ate it up. And then Jesus explains, these are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear it, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown them. I would suggest that the hard of hearing hearts become hardened by the hurried and hectic pace of life. We become well used and we become beaten down. And some of us have more beating down than others. The path of our life gets hardened. We don't have the time or the softness to listen to what God would say in the midst of our frenetic lives. Richard Foster, in his book Celebration of Discipline, puts it this way. In contemporary society, our adversary majors in three things: noise, hurry, and crowds. If he can keep us engaged in muchness and manyness, he will rest satisfied. The hurried life, in fact, how often do we ask people, how are you doing? And they answer, busy. It happens all the time. I hear myself saying it. We say it because it's usually true. It just may seem normal to us, but it's not necessarily normal. Now, I haven't checked this out with Rich and Allie Benson, but I'm told that in Swahili, the word for white man is mazungu, which means one who spins around. And I'd suggest that sometimes we... Is that right, by the way? Am I...
Close?
There, okay, thank you. That's what we're like sometimes. We feel like we're just spinning around in a lot of energy and doing all kinds of things and going nowhere. And I would suggest that that contributes to this hardened path, hardened hearing. So what can we do? I think we can stop. We can cease. We can do Sabbath. And I'm not talking just about taking a Sabbath day. I think that's a healthy thing. But I think we also need to take Sabbaths within the day. For myself, I start early in the morning. And I get up and I come down here to the church. Sometimes I have a meeting before that, but I always stop and I cease for a short period of time when people aren't here and people, I'm not going to get interrupted. And I just cease. I've also tried to do that with my life generally. October 30th of last year, some of you were here and I had my little event. You know, and part of what the Lord said to me in the midst of that is, you got to change the way you're living life. I mean, it was kind of like God said, here's a wake-up call. You need to listen to me. Cease. The second is the shallow heart. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. And then Jesus goes on to explain, and these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root and endure only for a while. And then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. I think, sadly, this is the tale of many believers. We receive with joy the good news of God's grace, but then we don't let that good news of grace take root deeply in our lives. And we actually revert back to that which is not good news, it's bad news. And we live according to the law, and we live according to rules and regulations. And we not only do that for ourselves, but we impose that on other people. And we abandon the grace of God. We have the words of the gospel without the reality of the gospel operating in our lives. We don't take the time to let the truth of God's grace penetrate deeply into our hearts and begins God's work of inner transformation. So that when things get tough, we get tough. Staying soft toward God and staying soft toward people, our hearts are hardened. When the heat of life beats down, when things really do get tough, we tend to abandon. We bail out. We wither away. We die on the vine. Oh, we may continue to come here and sit in these nice, comfortable chairs. We may be a part of a Bible study. We may even be involved doing ministry. But withering has taken place in our lives. What can we do? We can repent. That's the biblical word. Turn around. Think differently. The word I like to use is we reorient our lives. Change the direction and focus of our lives. Take a good, long, hard look at ourselves and determine those things we need to change. And then face up to the hard work of reorientation. And part of the way we do that is we point ourselves toward true north. Where's true north in this room? Right over there. Where's true north in our lives? Right up there. So we don't just take a good hard look at ourselves. We take a good long hard look at Jesus and who he is. We see the way he interacts with people. What does he do? Does he disassociate with people? Does he move away from people because they're acting wrong? No. He moves toward them. Does he condemn people? No, he says things like, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Does he say to people, you don't count because you're on the margins of society? No, he says, no, you come in, you're included. You're part. You belong. Because you are created in the image of God, and God loves you infinitely, always, deeply. We need to pattern our lives after the Lord who is our master. An apprentice learns from the master. So it's not just a matter of learning what the notes are on the score sheet. It's also learning how the master plays the music. So part of what we need to do is recognize those places where we don't play the music right. I was down here at the church yesterday afternoon, and Nathan Barker was up on the stage with Porter Horn, and I don't know how long they were here, but they were practicing violin for hours. Why? To learn how to play the music the right way. How much time do we give to learning how to play life like Jesus. It's not just a matter of learning the verses. It's not just a matter of learning what's written down. It's a matter of putting that into practice in a way that is life-giving, that is gracious and loving. The third heart is the untended heart. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And Jesus explains, and others are these sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire of other things come in and choke the word, and it bears no fruit. I read this and I thought, nothing stops our hearing like the cares of the world. I mean, think about the cares that you bear. Some of you are dealing with debilitating illness. Some of you are dealing with loss of job. Some of you are dealing with failing parents, and some of you are dealing with rebellious children. Some of you are dealing with parents who just can't get their act together. Some of you are dealing with fellow employees that you want to tear your hair out or turn around and choke them. Am I right? There are all different kinds of cares of the world. The lure of wealth and the desire for things. It's as if Jesus had written this, said this, for our 21st century Colorado Springs. Anxiety about these kinds of things. The headlong pursuit of these kinds of things cuts us off from God. And in the midst of that, one of the things that happened is we forget that we are the beloved of God. We are His beloved. Instead of seeing the goodness of life, we experience the world as fearful and dangerous and an unsafe place to live. And all of our efforts go toward making ourselves safe. To build a wall of safety around us. Physically, relationally, emotionally, whatever way we can, we just want to be safe. We want to be taken care of. We want to have what we want and what we feel we need, and we want it now. I'm right there with all of the people who feel the same way that I just described. What can we do? I think we need to open our ears regularly to hear the words spoken to Jesus and applied to us. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are my beloved. You are my pride and joy. I am for you and not against you. And then we need to say what Bob said. What? What? Eh? You are my beloved. You are my pride and joy. Oh, but Lord, I've lost my job. I have nothing. My family is falling apart. You are my beloved. My child, I love you. My child, I forgive you. My child, I care for you. My child, I am for you and not against you. I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care what the world says. To do this, we need to tend to our hearts. Because until we are embraced, occupied with, and immersed, and attentive to the tension that is created by this message in the reality of our lives, we will be distracted by the worries of life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for things. What can we do? Tend our hearts. We tend our gardens. You know, here in Colorado, in California you have gardens all year long. Here in Colorado, everybody waits for that time when they get to plant. And then everybody's out tending their garden, weeding, digging up dirt, planting new flowers, watering, feeding, figuring out how to keep the deer away. We must tend our hearts, take care and pay attention to the values that are competing for our hearts. This means taking a good look at that which is important and then making some intentional decisions about what is going to capture our heart. Instead of living however we want to, just go with the flow and live however we want to, and then, in the midst of that, justify it afterwards. If we haven't decided ahead of time, before we enter the circumstances of our life, what's important to us, we are dead in the water when the circumstances happen. Tending our heart says, I'm going to pay attention to what God values. Because what God values, what captures God's heart, that's what needs to capture my heart. And that's the way I love God. Lastly, he talks about the listening heart. Other seed fell onto good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And he said, let anyone with ears to hear listen. And once again, he explains, these are the ones sown on the good soil, and they hear the word, accept it, bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. What makes for good soil? For growth that is intentional and continuous and expansive. How do we develop listening hearts? We've already touched on some of it. But I think, again, we need to use the words that I used last week, or 2 weeks ago. We need to be attention, stand at attention to the tension that we live in. Stand at attention and be attentive to what makes for good soil in our lives. And part of that means becoming self-aware. Paul put it this way, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, but to think with sober judgment. That word sober there actually means accurate. Accurate judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. It means allowing the flame of the Holy Spirit to burn in our lives and to illuminate the truth about who we are to us, and receiving that, and allow the flame of the Holy Spirit to also purge away and burn. We need to get honest with ourselves. John Calvin said, without knowledge of self, there is no knowledge of God. Nearly all wisdom we possess consists of two parts, the knowledge of God and the knowledge of self. If I would say my observation about human beings that I have been in relationship with in churches, one of the biggest inhibiting factors to growth is the lack of self-awareness. Not realizing what's really true about themselves. Because they have spent so much time and worked so hard at maintaining a particular outer image. And if I was a psychologist, I'd say, if you live that kind of life, inevitably you will crumble from the inside out. We need to have integrity. We need to be the kind of people that says, what you see is what you get. Let me tell you something, though. If you live that way, it's not going to go over well with everybody. It really doesn't. But that's what God values. If you want to love God, be like David. David was honest about himself always. And when he wasn't honest and somebody called him on it, he became honest. I would say this brings us back to the spiritual disciplines. How do we develop a deeper knowledge of self and a deeper knowledge of God? And thus develop a listening heart. And one of the ways that we do that is through spiritual disciplines. Listening posts. ways that practices that we engage in that allow God to speak into our lives. We attune our lives, our hearts, our hearing to God through the developing of those spiritual disciplines, Scripture being one of them. The reading of Scripture, the meditating on Scripture, as well as the study of Scripture. And we ask the Lord, Lord, show me the truth about myself from your word. Instead of saying, Lord, show me the truth about them, show me the truth about myself from your word. And then we have to come to the word like a mirror, but we have to do something with the word. James says this, but be doers of the word, not merely hearers to deceive themselves. For if we are hearers of the word and not doers, then we are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers only, but forget, and become doers who act, then we become a blessing. We become a blessing. I think we also need to develop the listening post of silence and solitude. Now, I confess, I'm an extrovert. Being alone, being quiet, is not my cup of tea. It's just not my bag. As a pastor, I've been on silent retreats, and I just can't wait for them to be over with. And some, you know, the thing I've discovered is this church is filled with introverts. We have more introverts in this church than we do extroverts. And so many of you, this is like falling off a log. Being quiet, being by yourself, being silent, having solitude feeds your life. But for those of us who are extroverts, we still need to develop that in our lives. And for some of us, we need to follow the advice of that great theologian, Bill Murray, who in his movie, What About Bob?, teaches us that sometimes it's a matter of taking baby steps. Is that not right? We take baby steps. So those of you who are like me, 5 minutes may be a baby step. And that may grow to 10, and it may grow to an hour. It may never get beyond an hour. But it is something that we can develop in our lives. And no matter what the issue is, whether it's developing time of silence or solitude or something else, we still need to take those baby steps. And then we need to remember the other lesson from that famous theologian, Bill Murray, which he teaches us in his movie Groundhog Day, which is when you wake up in the morning, you have another chance to start all over again. God is the God of second chances. We can always start over again. And whenever we get into the case of I am lost, I can't do it, no matter what it is, then we are lost. But if we wake up and say, today is a new day and I'm going to take baby steps again today. And then lastly, I'd like to say that we have to develop the listening post of uncomfortable places. When we take the attitude that I read a couple weeks ago, faith is like a spare tire. It is nice to have it there if we need it, but I sure hope we won't need it. I mean, that happens in this church, for the church as a whole. We get in an uncomfortable place financially, and what we want is the assurance of a boatload of cash in the bank that'll tide us over. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But what happens if it's not there? Isn't that exactly the point at which you need faith? If I'm dealing with somebody in my family and things aren't going the way I want them to do with that person, isn't that exactly the point at which we need faith? To engage in relationship with that person? when it seems like life is overwhelming and everything around me is uncomfortable, isn't it exactly at that place that we need faith? Yes, thank you. It is exactly that. Isn't it when we're dealing with people that are different than us, don't think the way that we do, don't live the way that we do, interpret Scripture differently than we do, talk differently than we do, worship differently than we do? Isn't that exactly the place where we need faith? Yes. I'd like an amen from somebody. I could just keep doing that on and on until I get a lot of amens. The Bible, biblical faith compels us to go into difficult places. It compels us to. Is it safe? No. Is God safe? No. But He's good. All the time. We need to move into uncharted territory. The Spirit moves, the Spirit burns, the Spirit motivates, the Spirit propels us into difficult places. My friend Greg Ogden, again, he writes, "If God seems distant and dull, it's probably because we have become distant and dull by remaining in a cocoon of safety. The pathway of growth as an apprentice of Jesus means listening to Him and doing what He says, going where He goes." There's a story told about a peasant woman who happened to meet a Benedictine monk in the medieval times, and she fell down before him and pleaded, "Tell me, Holy Father, what do you men of God do up there on the mountain in the monastery?" And this particular monk was wise and humble, and he said simply, "I'll tell you, my child, what we do. We fall down and get up. We fall down and get up. We fall down and get up." That's how it works. You put your right foot in, you take your right foot out. You put your whole self in, and you fall down, and you get up. And you fall down, and you get up. But here's the deal. We don't do it alone. We do it together. You're going through depression. It feels all alone. It feels dark. There are people here who want to go through that with you, walk with you in the midst of that. And they want to fall down with you and get up with you. You're going through a difficult time at work. There are people who want to go through that with you, walk alongside of you. And every time you fall down, they want to help you get up. You're going through the loss of someone who's been central in your life. Don't go through it alone. Yesterday at the presbytery meeting, the transitionary executive presbyter gave the sermon. It was a wonderful, marvelous message. And part of what he talked about is there is a rhythm to the ministry of Jesus that is repeated over and over again. And the rhythm is this. He goes apart for silence and solitude in prayer. He comes together to create community with His disciples. And then He goes out in ministry. That's the cycle of life for a Christian. That's the way we hear God. Apart with God, together with each other, out into the world. Up with God, in with each other, out into the world. That's what we're created for. That's what fruit is all about. The development of a new character. In the process of getting up after falling down, we learn to listen with God, to God with our hearts, hear what he says, and then do it. May it be so for each of us, and may it be so for this church. Would you pray with me? Spirit of God, burn in our hearts and minds. Melt the wax in our ears. Help us to listen. Help us to bear fruit so that we might bring glory to your name. And as we give of our tithes and our offerings, we pray that for each person here, that whatever they put in that basket will be only a token of the real thing that you want, which is our whole selves. In Jesus' name, amen.